Hello, and welcome to Viewpoints, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Pete. As a visually impaired person, it can be a little bit tricky sometimes to analyze large sets of data, but we talk with someone who has another way around that.
Dave Engebretson, a blind geologist, will demonstrate audio versions of graphs of several geological phenomena. And then we'll speak with John Taylor from View Plus about their audio graphing calculator that you can use to do the same thing. But first to our tip of the week. This week's tip is, be prepared for a new name for Viewpoints. Effective January 1st, 2013, the show will be called Eyes on Success.
And what will be new about the show?
Just the name. It'll be the same show that you may or may not have been listening to since its inception 2 years ago. The first show aired the first week of January 2011. And 2 years later, it's going to be the same show, hopefully better and better every week. New name, Eyes on Success.
And we thought that name indicated the positive attitude that we have on this show and is a little bit more descriptive about what most of our episodes are about. We'll also be changing our website, so it will be www.eyesonsuccess.net, but we'll make sure that the old website points to this new website just in case you have some bookmarks set, but you should get ready to make some changes if you need to.
And similarly, on Facebook and Twitter, we'll be changing the name to Eyes on Success. And hopefully that will go smoothly if you already like us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. That will just be seamless, and you can like Eyes on Success the same as you liked Viewpoints.
And if you've run into any problems with these changes, please send us a note so that we're aware of the problem and that we can rectify the problem.
And where should they send that note?
Well, you can either send it to what will become our old email address, contact@viewpointsplus.net, or what will be our new email address, hosts@eyesonsuccess.net.
And that's all one word, EYESONSUCCESS, eyesonsuccess.net.
As usual, look for this information in the show notes if you didn't get it all here. Sounds like we're out in space.
Funny thing, it does sound like that. That was the audio representation of data from the gravitational attraction of both the sun and the moon as measured in southern Puget Sound near Seattle. And we can assure you Seattle is not out in space, but arguably the sun and the moon are. And the base notes are the quarters of the moon at 2 per second. Turning now to our low-tech item, let's meet Dave Engebretson. We've actually already met him in show 1218 on birding for the blind, but it turns out his day job is being a geologist, and he's here again from the perspective of being a geologist.
My name is Dave Engebretson. I teach at Western Washington University in the Department of Geology. I've been married almost 45 years, proud of that. I got my degree, first one at Western Washington State College, which is now the university, and then came back here after a PhD at Stanford University in geophysics. We love boating and hiking and all kinds of things to do up here in the Northwest.
And you can't meet Dave without meeting his dogs.
Well, this one here pulling is Sporty. He's a new guide dog, just got him 2 months ago. He's a black lab. He's very strong, and he's playing right now, believe it or not. And then the older one over there is Fritz, who was a guide dog for me for 9.5 years. He's almost 12. He's retired and doing well. Here he comes. And they've been wonderful. They've set me free, really.
We actually got to meet Dave and his wife this summer when Nancy and I were vacationing out in Seattle. Dave lives in that area, and we went on some hikes with him and his wife and had a great time.
And the dogs. Don't forget the dogs.
They were fun and very active.
Right. So Sporty was guiding Dave, and Fritz was basically being walked by Dave's wife because Fritz is retired. But they're wonderful dogs, and you can just hear how much Dave loves them in his voice. Professionally, you've been a geologist. Was most of your research theoretical, or you did more hands-on stuff, or what?
First thing I did was paleomagnetic work, which you drill rocks and you bring them to the lab and measure their magnetization, tell maybe what latitude they're from, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I've done quite a bit of that. I've worked with a lot of people because I got really lucky in my PhD thesis. I was looking at the motion of the plates relative mainly to North America, so I worked with many geologists and done a lot of field work too. The theoretical part would be the reconstructions of the plates, but then applying it to the geology, I got to work with a lot of geologists. I have to say I was really lucky with my PhD. It got bigger and better as I went along, so sometimes that doesn't happen.
Was that before your site deteriorated to the degree it is now?
Yeah. See, I got a PhD from Stanford in late 82, 30 years ago.
Amazing how time flies.
Clark Blake taught me a lot about geology, and I've done lots of field work with him. It's been great. I miss it, though. You know, I can't walk around the hills anymore. It's pretty dangerous, but I can't see the minerals in the mountains anymore, so, my life has changed.
But what's really neat about Dave's story is he hasn't given up. I mean, just because his eyesight deteriorated didn't mean he had to give up his profession or his interest. He just found another way of doing the things that he wanted to do, and he's quite successful at it and quite enterprising.
And he sees the positive in his situation and views it almost as an advantage.
One of the advantages, I think, of not being able to see very well is often you get to see the bigger picture while other people kind of zero in on a certain mineral or a small joint in the rocks or a fault or something like that, where my vision was poor enough that I kind of had a filter that I think I could see the bigger picture. I actually did for my thesis, I did a reconstructions of the oceanic plates and the continents back to a couple hundred million years ago. So I chose bigger scale things. I don't do very well with the minerals. You know, I'm colorblind also.
So you take what your limitations are and you find a way around it, and he found other interesting projects to work on.
You are listening to Viewpoints, 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 Viewpoints.
This week's focus topic is using sound to represent various types of geological data. Now, Dave's a professor, as he said, and he uses this technique in class, even though all the students are sighted.
I taught a class for years. I haven't been teaching it lately, but I called it Sounds on Earth. So I used it in my class a lot. That's how I did it. And the students had some great ideas that I use. Almost always when you play a sound, they'll say, that sounds like, and then dot, dot, dot. So they'll say, have you ever tried putting a river discharge into sound? So then 2 or 3 days of programming later, I'll have it. Students love the idea. We just turn off all the lights and listen. There are some very rich scientific things you can do, like the tides, mapping them into tones is what you call sonification. And that's often it's called audio display, but anyway, it's a sonification. But you can also do what I call audification, where you can take earthquake or the tides, if you have enough data, and let the waveform be the actual waveform that makes up the tides, and then play that. It's usually not very pretty, but it really has some scientific information in it. One of the things that I want to stress, I can take a year's worth of tides, and there's 8,760 hours in a year, I think it is, and you can use that as the sample rate, and then just play it directly a year every second.
Mm-hmm.
You can pick out bad data points, like little clicks that come up, and you go, wait a minute, tides don't do that. And then you look back in the data, and you'll find a bad data point. And I think that's one of the things that visually impaired could do better than anybody, I think, would be data quality control. I mean, you can listen to a year and a second. So you can listen to 10 years and 10 seconds and probably pull out all the bad data sooner or later, you know, and then you go in and tell somebody, or you do it yourself and you fix it until you get a smooth, no more snapping sounds.
So just because you can't see the data doesn't mean that you can't use the data and obtain some results from the data. And what Dave has done over the years, he's built up a number of routines. He programmed up in Fortran a bunch of routines that generate sine waves and triangle waves and square waves, and then uses these routines to translate his data into the various sounds that you'll be hearing later.
Okay, so we've heard how it's done and why and what you can use this technique for. Let's hear what it sounds like. Here's what the tides sound like.
This is Friday Harbor Tides, and it's in A minor, mm-hmm. and Friday Harbor's in the San Juans, mm-hmm. and every tone burst is a one-hour data point, and I map the height of the tide into the A minor pentatonic scale.
Okay.
And then I add some reverb. And this is a triangle wave. Sounds like, almost like a flute or something.
Mm-hmm.
Or
yeah.
Oboe. So you can get the tide feeling there.
Mm-hmm. Wow, so those are the tides coming in and out?
Yeah.
And each tone you said was an hour apart?
Yeah. Each tone burst is an hour apart.
Uh-huh.
This is called canyon scales. Cause now here we're getting into spring tides. Hear how much higher the highs are and the lower the lows?
Huh.
So on spring tides, you know, when the Earth and the Sun and the Moon are in lined up in some way,
huh. Yeah,
instead of quarter moons or full or new moons, are higher tides than neap tides, which are when they're in the first and third quarter.
In case you're wondering, Friday Harbor is in Puget Sound, a little bit north of Seattle, Washington, on the west coast of the United States. It's very close to where Dave lives. So that was cool, Dave. What else have you converted into a sound format?
The change in my life, I think, about 4 years ago was I started putting the orbital periods of the planets into sound. And the planets turn out to play in F-sharp minor. And Jupiter plays the F-sharp, you know, the biggest planet. And all the others are in F-sharp minor, like Earth is C-sharp, Venus is an A, Mercury is a C-sharp, so is Pluto. I call Pluto a planet still. And let's see, the G-sharps are Neptune and Uranus. So there you go. It makes a wonderful F-sharp minor chord.
Cool. Can we hear that too?
Earth is a one-second period, and its frequency that mm-hmm. matches that, which is a C-sharp.
Mm-hmm.
And then I did it 1950 to 2050 because it takes 247 years for Pluto to go around in orbit.
Mm. Oh, gee.
And it came by around, I don't know, 1970 or something,
mm-hmm.
into the axis of the International Celestial Reference Frame.
Right.
So we'll hear Pluto once.
Once.
And Mercury a lot.
All the time. Exactly.
And Earth once a second.
Yeah. And I boosted the amplitude of Earth just a little bit so you could kind of catch on to it.
Mercury sounds like crickets.
It does. There's Jupiter. I mean, Pluto right there. A low note.
Yeah.
Yeah. Goes for long. That's probably Jupiter or Saturn right there.
Mm-hmm.
Start picking them out now. But that one is Earth.
So how'd you decide on the duration? Some of them were longer, some of those low notes?
I didn't know what to do, so I took the period, made it go for one quarter of its period around. So Mercury's going so fast, it sounded like cricket. Well, that duration of that tone burst, mm-hmm. I'm calling tone burst, mm-hmm. is one quarter of its period.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
So some of the lower frequencies got to be a lot longer duration.
Yeah, uh-huh. Like that Pluto.
Mm-hmm.
Even though Pluto's tiny.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. How neat.
Cool.
Well, I'm glad I wasn't born on Pluto. Doesn't sound like I would have lived until my first birthday if it took 237 years to get around the sun.
You might have missed summer.
That is pretty cool, though, to listen to that.
Well, getting back to planet Earth.
I also do one of flying around the topography of the Earth at the equator. So when you're in the oceans, it's an abyssal plane with very hardly any change, but low frequency notes. And then it climbs up over South America, and you go through Ecuador with a real high peak, and it goes very high frequency, and then back down in the Atlantic Ocean and so forth. ¶¶
that was a great way of taking a quick trip around the world. No waiting in lines, no delays at airports. Tremendous.
That was once around the Earth in 35 seconds. Sure beats the way Phineas Fogg did it around the world in 80 days. And he couldn't see how deep the bottom of the ocean was.
So I think you have to map this into global warming, you know, because there's all this...
Yeah, there's one on global warming in here. A couple of them.
Well, answer the question for us then. Are we experiencing global warming?
Well, yeah.
Maybe we can all listen and make our own decisions.
Well, yeah, it's true, too. I don't think there's any doubt that Earth is warming up. It's just whether it's our fault or not.
Mm-hmm. And do you think it's our fault?
Yeah, I do.
We can hear if it's happening, maybe.
What I had to do is you look up a paper that had global warming mapped against time from 1800 to 2000.
Mm-hmm.
And it was tree rings, and like I was sitting there, and glacial advances. All these six or seven different ways that they could proxy temperature.
Uh-huh.
And then I let their proxy temperature be at the higher frequency and the tone, the higher temperature.
Mm-hmm.
And started out in 1800, and I just programmed the drum beat here and used that for marking 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
So
every time you hear a thud, that's 50 years past.
Yeah, it starts out in 1800. So then you know 1850, mm-hmm. 1900, we're around the Industrial Revolution
mm-hmm.
time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was 1800. Those are one-year bursts. Just kind of playing around a little bit.
Mm-hmm. 1850?
Mm-hmm.
1900?
Mm-hmm.
1950?
Mm-hmm.
2000.
Oh, but that's interesting. Wow, that's really dramatic.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, yeah.
And all the different surrogates are going up at the same time.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Yeah.
And this summer, everybody's sweating buckets.
Yeah, right. That's fascinating. That's a really easy way to assimilate the data.
Yeah, it is.
Boy, if you haven't been convinced about global warming in the past, that will certainly do it for you.
Let me tell you, I've seen... maybe not exactly that graph, but similar graphs. And it's pretty dramatic in print. It's more dramatic in audio.
It made a huge impression on me. I've never seen the graphs.
That's it for our focus segment. The upcoming Breaker Tune is another audio description of data. It represents about 100 digits of pi. Notice that there's no pattern to it at all. Turning now to this week's high-tech item, we'll be talking with John Taylor from View Plus about their audio graphing calculator, so you can do some of these audio representations of data yourself. Can you start by introducing yourself and telling us a little bit about your role with View Plus?
My name's John Taylor. I work for View Plus Technologies in Corvallis, Oregon. I started at View Plus as a product tester, and I've kind of worked my way up. I manage the QA department now, and I do all their high-level tech support as well as most of their web trainings.
So that's pretty cool. That means you're really motivated to get good quality assurance and good training so you have less to do on the tech support side.
Absolutely, yes. It's been really cool. They've given me some great opportunities to rise up in the company, which I really appreciate. It's been a great place to work.
And how long have you been with them?
I've been with View Plus 2 years.
So you're sighted, right?
I am.
So I wonder if you could tell us and our listeners a little bit about View Plus Technologies, what they do, and a little bit about the company.
View Plus is mainly a Braille printer company. They make several different models of Braille printers, but they also make some other unique accessibility tools and software, such as the audio graphing calculator. That is a graphing calculator with audio feedback.
Can you describe that a little bit more?
The audio graphing calculator, it's just an easy install onto any current version of Windows. It allows you to graph, plot. You can also use a matrix evaluator to multiply, add, subtract matrices. It's got a built-in calculator, and all of this has built-in audio feedback, so it can all be read to you with essentially a special screen reader just built for AGC. So we actually have the ability to graph virtually anything. We can do polar coordinates as well. We can do regular coordinates. And then it gives you the ability to go through and tab through all of those points. So we'll read you each individual point as you go through. It's really an amazing tool, and there's nothing else like it.
So in terms of a blind person accessing the resultant graph, they're basically able to pick off the XY values?
Correct. Yeah, there's a feature built into the screen reader, and it's an easy key command. And once it's graphed, you can just go through, and it'll step-by-step go through each individual point from left to right, and it will read you each individual point's coordinates. So for instance, if you had a point at -1, 1 or something like that, it'll read you that it's -1, 1. And then you can actually graph multiple equations at one time and see like intersection points. You can read minimum maximums. Anyway, it's really awesome. It's also built to emboss these graphs. So anything you graph, you can also emboss on any of our printers.
Oh, that's handy. And then if you want, you can feel the graph.
Exactly. That's the entire point. That embossing feature is using part of our great tactile graphic system with our printers. We have also a few built-in features where it will play different frequencies for high and low dots. So you just press a button. It'll play higher and lower frequencies for like the dot values. So for instance, if you have a dot that's high on the graph and a dot that's low on the graph or something, it'll play through those and it'll give high frequency for the dots that are high up and low frequencies for the dots that are low. So you can get a fairly decent clue of exactly what that graph is doing just based on the frequency that's played.
Can you give us a demonstration of some of these capabilities?
Yeah, absolutely. Here, I'm going to share my screen with you. You can insert any equation you want. I selected 5 times sine of x times 5. It graphs actually...
Show graph at graph.
It graphs a...
Coordinates.
What looks like a flower in polar coordinates. So everything in the audio graphing calculator is easily accessible by different command keys. There's command keys for absolutely everything you want.
Def open paren x close paren equals 5 times open paren in open paren x times 5 close paren.
So then after I'm done graphing it, you can just tab through the points.
X equals -9.96, y equals 2.2443, x equals -9.92, y equals 3.087, x equals -9.88, y equals 3.807.
So all I'm doing is I'm just pressing Alt and the arrow over, and it's reading me each point as I go through. And you can set as many points or as few points as you'd like. There's hotkeys to give you the high points, low points.
Can you play the graph?
Graph. But play data set F5.
So that's pretty cute. That was in a rectilinear coordinate system. Can you play it in the polar coordinates where it looks like a 5-petaled daisy?
Yeah, I've sat there and while testing this, I've had a lot of fun just playing these noises.
Play data.
And that's 5 times sine of x times 5 in polar coordinates.
Can you adjust the speed at which it plays back?
Absolutely. We have
volume.
A whole entire
data
option here
volume.
For this.
50.
We can change the minimum frequency and maximum frequency. We can even have mono or stereo output. I can adjust the play time from anywhere from 1 second all the way to 30 seconds. I can change the volume. I can change if it plays the tick marks as well when it hits them. I can even put in a Y threshold value. Would you guys like to hear it sound a little bit different? I can change a few things.
Yeah, if you could just play the polar coordinates version maybe 2 or 3 times as slow as the original.
Okay, and
frequency range.
I'm going to turn
range,
the maximum frequency all
range,
the way up and the minimum frequency all the way
hertz.
Down. And so that way you should be able to hear
def open paren, x close
essentially
paren equals 5
the
times open
broadest
open paren,
range
x
of noise.
Times. Help. Help. Graph. But play data set.
So I wonder, just for, might be a little bit more clear to some of the users, can we do a simple graph like y equals x squared? Just a simple parabola might be easier for people to hear.
How about that?
Radio
x to the second?
Rectangle checked.
Yeah, that's great.
Okay, and I'll play
graph.
This for you.
But play data set F. Play data set F5.
And that's a parabola.
Now, I couldn't see that, but from hearing that, it sounded like an upward-facing parabola, one that would hold water. Started at the high frequencies, went to the low frequency.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So you can get a very good idea of what your graph is like.
I guess I didn't have to see it, so it actually works.
And it's really a nifty feature that's just built right into AGC.
Can you summarize some of the main features of the audio graphing calculator?
Everything in the calculator can be made to either talk to you or not if you don't want to. There's just a broad variety of not only voices you can select, but frequencies, rate, pitch. So you have essentially all the standard screen reader stuff built in, but you can also change a whole bunch of stuff that applies just to the math within the program as well. So this is just this audio graphing calculator. There's absolutely just nothing like it on the market that makes math this accessible.
If somebody wants to get one, what would they do?
You can just visit our website, www.viewplus.com. If you're interested in trying it before you buy it, which is never a bad idea, you can download a free 30-day trial. Just go ahead and go get it, download it, try it, see if you like it. You can also purchase it right from the website.
Where can people find out more about the Braille printers?
The Braille printers, there's tons of information online on our website. And if anybody has any questions, they can feel free to give us a call. You can reach me, and my phone number is 541-754-4002, and my extension is 281. You can also contact me at john.taylor@viewplus.com. That's john.taylor@viewplus.com.
And as usual, if you missed any of that, we'll have that information in the show notes.
That's it for show number 1248. Next week, we'll be talking about the transition to college life. Making the transition to college can be daunting for anybody. We'll meet Rebecca, a visually impaired freshman at Carnegie Mellon University, and talk to her about how she's taken this next step towards independence. Hear how she's handled the social, academic, and practical aspects of becoming a college student. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to contact@viewpointsplus.net or call us at 585-258-0333, and we'll try to address your question in an upcoming program.
You've been listening to Viewpoints, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman Torpy and Peter Torpy and distributed by WXXI Reach Out Radio. For detailed information or a full archive of programs, visit www.viewpointsplus.net. You can also follow us on Facebook or Twitter at Viewpoints Plus. We hope you will join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. And remember, beginning in January, we'll have a new name, Eyes on Success.